606 at Talk 107.3 FM, WBRP. Good morning, everybody. Brian Haldane here with you. Taylor Sharp producing. You've got us for the next 2 hours before we hand things off to Brian Kilmeade and Fox News Talk. I got a lot slated for today. We're going to check in with the latest on the opening of the Morganza Spillway. Senator Bill Cassidy is going to join us in the 7 o'clock hour. And, of course, it is Thursday, which means the second half of the 7 o'clock hour is dedicated to Crime Stoppers. Actually, you know what? I like to tease the show to start things off, but I got to start off by teasing tomorrow's show as well. Dr. Josh Eaches is going to join us tomorrow morning to preview hurricane season. We're going to get a little bonus Franz tomorrow. He was chomping at the bit over something the Attorney General tweeted last night. So a little bonus Franz action tomorrow. And a listener turned me on to a story that I find just to be absolutely fascinating. The old river control structure on the Mississippi River. If you haven't seen the story, check it out. I'll tweet out some links later on today. But got the author of this now 6-part story going to be on with us tomorrow. But that's not until tomorrow. Right now, though, we start every day with Top Stories and Trending.
Now, Top Stories and Trending, keeping you informed on the stories people will be talking about today. Number 5.
Top Stories and Trending, of course, brought to you by DaleBuysHousesNow.com. You turn that ugly house into cash with DaleBuysHousesNow.com. Well, it seems like a return to Tiger Stadium was not enough to drive up attendance for this year's Bayou Country Superfest. On Wednesday, organizers announced that 50,000 fans attended this year's festival. That's about 3,000 fewer than those who bought tickets to last year's outing in New Orleans. It's an even steeper drop from the festival's 2016 attendance, which was roughly 100,000, which was the last time that they were here in Baton Rouge. Show made its name in the capital city, particularly at LSU's Tiger Stadium. Over the past decade, however, the event was forced to change venues in 2017 and 2018. The homecoming, like we said, brought out about 50,000 fans.
Number 4.
A bill banning drivers from holding their cell phone while behind the wheel is headed to the Senate after a pretty heated discussion on the House floor. Slidell Representative Kevin Pearson says the legislation will save money on insurance rates, but more importantly, likely save the lives of Louisiana drivers, particularly teens. If someone comes to you and says you're trying to take away my individual rights, well, say, I'm trying to save your life. But opponents hammered home the argument that the proposal was government overreach. New Orleans Representative Gary Carter says if a cop even thinks you might be touching your phone, you're giving them the probable cause to pull someone over, upset their life, search their car, and those kind of things, and that is objectionable. He added a third offense would result in the suspension of a driver's license.
Number 3.
Out to Prairieville, where a man was arrested yesterday after he allegedly took several inappropriate photos of women at a local Walmart earlier this month. The Ascension Parish Sheriff's Office announced yesterday 33-year-old Randall Tobias of Denham Springs was arrested. Investigators say Tobias took several photos underneath women's skirts over the course of about an hour on May 16th. The Sheriff's Office says at least two women who visited the Prairieville Walmart between 6 and 7 p.m. that day may still be unaware that they were photographed.
Number 2.
President Donald Trump has approved Governor John Bel Edwards' request for a federal disaster declaration ahead of the Morganza Spillway opening. Quote, we've been preparing for the opening of the Morganza by submerging a barge in Bayou Chen to reduce backwater flooding in the communities across 5 parishes, Governor Edwards said. This is an important first step, and we stand ready, alongside our federal partners, to support our local leaders in the coming days and weeks, and as even more water is expected to make its way into Louisiana. The approval is for emergency protective measures, including direct federal assistance under the Public Assistance Program at 75% federal funding for St. Mary Parish.
Number 1.
A young child is dead this morning and another person's in critical condition following a house fire on Kentucky Street Wednesday night. The fire was reported sometime after 9 p.m. last night in the 2000 block of Kentucky, a few blocks away from the I-10-110 split. The blaze was under control around 9:30. A bystander reportedly told fire crews that someone was trapped inside. Officials tell WBRZ a man and a 3-year-old girl were both found inside the front of the home. They were transported to the hospital in critical condition. According to the Baton Rouge Fire Department, the child later died from her injuries. That's a look at your top stories presented by DaleBuysHousesNow.com. Hey, if you've got that ugly house that you can't seem to unload, check out DaleBuysHousesNow.com. If you've got that fixer-upper you've never fixer-upped, check out DaleBuysHousesNow.com. Look, if you flooded back in 2016 and just never put things back together, at least never put them back together the way you wanted, DaleBuysHousesNow.com is your answer. They are fantastic for working with you. You just check out the website to learn more about the process. Fill out their little form, give them your name, your number, your contact, all that other good stuff, and they'll take it from there. And, oh, by the way, this isn't just for a single-family dwelling. If you happen to own an apartment complex, a duplex, a trailer park, they can help you out there, too. DaleBuysHousesNow.com, or give them a call at 291-8000 for DaleBuysHousesNow.com. Here's a look at what's trending this morning, and I hesitate to do it. We got to go to Florida today for our trending story. A man in Coral Springs got the bite of his life after finding a python in his bathroom Sunday morning. According to the Coral Springs Humane Unit, officers were called around 4 a.m. to the home on to a home on Riverside Drive in Coral Springs. A resident found an unwelcome guest in his toilet. And that unwelcome guest bit him. Yeah, he found a snake. He found a python in his toilet. They're unaware if the python was making his way in or trying to get out, but the python was in his toilet and did bite the man. Care to guess, Tyler, where the man was bitten by the python? I'll give you this clue. It was a ball python.
Okay, so I'm guessing he was going number one.
No, I got him in the arm. I was just setting you up there. 612 at Talk 107.3 FM. We're going to take a quick break, check traffic, and then Austin Bain sits in for sports on Talk 107.3. 6:15 at Talk 107.3 FM, and it's time to talk a little regional baseball. I figure there's no better way to do that than by bringing in someone who has played in multiple regionals, experienced success and failure on different levels in the regionals. Austin Bain, welcome to Talk 107.3. How are you, man?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you on here. Okay, so you've been through the ringer, man. You know how to do this. You know what it's like playing regional baseball. Tell me what it's like when you step on the field in Alex Box Stadium in this setting.
It's really it's an unbelievable feeling to be able to go out in postseason baseball at home. You have all the fans there. You pack out the box too. Everybody is cheering you on. It's really an unbelievable feeling, where vice versa, you go away for regional. Mm-hmm. It's all hostile. It's a completely different environment. It's so much better and so much of an advantage to be able to play home at Alex Box Stadium against teams that you really haven't played before.
Right.
And so it's definitely an experience that all these young guys are going to that they're going to feed off of and love and learn from and keep growing as baseball players too.
Now, Stony Brook is one of the teams coming to town. I think Stony Brook was just before you got to LSU, yeah. Was it not? Mm-hmm. 2012. So, when they see a name like that, does that set off an alarm for the players to say, we need to take this seriously?
I wouldn't say.
Obviously, they're going to take it seriously.
Absolutely. And I wouldn't say it sets off any alarms whatsoever, because in 2012, Stony Brook, they did have a really good team with some great leaders who were future MLB players too.
Yeah.
Stony Brook is, they're just going to take them as another team that you would, like a Southeastern or somebody like that. And we respect everybody. Those guys are going to go out there and play as hard as they can, just like they were playing Vanderbilt or Georgia or anybody like that. So I don't think it's going to raise any red flags just because of the 2012 year at all.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, I mean, any team that's still alive, they're a good team. They've proven that they can play late in season too. So they definitely need to be respected, and they're going to come in wanting to play, and they might have a little more like enthusiasm because of the 2012 season.
Sure.
But I don't think the LSU players are going to look at it any differently.
Is it unusual that there's not another Louisiana team in this regional? Normally, when you look at, you know, LSU's regional, the number four is a Southeastern, a Northwestern, yeah. A Southern, but we don't have another in-state team coming to town this year. Does that play differently?
I don't think it plays any differently, because, I mean, whenever we host regionals, it's typically mainly LSU fans that are going to be there. I mean, last year, too, we also had an in-state school, Northwestern State, in Oregon as well. So, I mean, all of my regionals, I want to say we did have in-state teams, mm-hmm. but we didn't look at them as an in-state team. Right. We just looked at them as another opponent. So it didn't really affect us or mean anything to us. I don't know if it did to the fans either, but no, I don't think it's a big deal.
Is there a discernible difference between the regular season? Talking about a player's mentality, is there a discernible difference between the regular season and the postseason? Do you feel that pressure?
You do. And you said pressure, and it does feel a little bit like pressure, but it almost feels like momentum that you have to win. It's survive in advance. You win and you can build off of it, because you have to realize the other teams are feeling it too.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have to realize that the other teams are coming to LSU to play LSU.
Yes.
LSU is a big name. It carries a lot of weight, and the players know it. And the players, they have that confidence behind them too, which really, really helps as well. So
Is there an intangible within a team that you can kind of look at a team, look at a roster, look at their camaraderie and makeup? Is there something you can look at from the outside looking in? I mean, having been inside it, is there something that you can see that tells you if, like, yeah, these guys, they quote unquote have it?
I mean,
and you know, the follow up is going to be, does this team have it?
This team does absolutely have it from my point of view, but I am from the outside looking in now, so I don't see the inside look. But from what I have seen, to see how this team battles when they're behind and working their way up, how they battle throughout the course of a game and how they don't really give up, and they've proven that in the SEC tournament and late in the season too. So, I mean, if I could tell from the outside, I do think this team has it.
Austin Payne, I appreciate the time this morning, man. Can't tell you how much I thank you for it.
Thank you, man. Appreciate
it. All right. Fox Business Report coming your way. Six 27, Talk 107.3 FM, WBRP. Brian Haldane here with you. We got your CBS update coming up in about 4 minutes. Can we talk about the Morganza Spillway in our next segment? The CBS World News Roundup coming your way at 7 o'clock. Right now, though, we got to check in on the legislative session with a little over a week to go. Things are coming to pass, or not pass, coming to fail at this point. Yesterday, we talked a good bit about sports betting, and I make no bones about it. I'm still livid about the way that went down. Franklin Foyle was on with us. Kind of squashed the anger a little bit, but not much. Still, it hasn't sit well. And when you go back to the session yesterday, and then this comes out. House Criminal Justice Committee rejects proposal seeking to legalize recreational marijuana use. Now, let me give a full disclosure here. I don't smoke weed. Never have. I don't partake in marijuana use. But this, much like sports betting, to me, is about personal freedom and about us being grown-ups, about us being able to enjoy ourselves, recreate ourselves responsibly as grown-ups, and the state legislature telling us no.
Not only that, I feel like we're losing a lot in tax dollars by not passing these.
That's a side point. You're right.
Like a lot.
No, you're absolutely right, Taylor. Good point. And that's a strong side point, is that every day that goes by that these things aren't legal are days that go by that money being spent on them does not go to the state coffers. You've got a group of people that spends rampantly, and you're giving them potential outlets to make more money, and they say no to them, and then simultaneously say no to tightening the belts. That being said, this right here, as a literal cash crop, this right here would be the biggest enabler for them to spend money hand over fist, and yet they still say no. A proposal attempting to make Louisiana the first state in the South to legalize recreational use of marijuana failed in the House Criminal Justice Committee. New Orleans Representative John Bagnaris brought the bill before the panel. Quote, I think we have a chance to put Louisiana in a right spot, because as long as we wait, the pot of money will shrink and it will get smaller and smaller. I disagree with that on the back end. It's going to be longer and longer before we have use of it. Honestly, once marijuana is legal recreationally here in Louisiana, the French Quarter is going to be the epicenter of the tourism world. We'll get back to that later. Bagnera says tax revenues from the sale of legal pot could go towards public schools, TOPS, and better roads. Kevin Caldwell of Common Sense NOLA says marijuana use is increasing, and the state's not getting any benefits from it. Okay, all that's right. All right, but that's not what had me pissed off from yesterday. You ready to see how I got triggered? A separate headline. A 35-0 vote Tuesday gave final passage to a bill that aims to add signs to notify motorists on I-10 coming from Texas and Mississippi that they're entering the home of the Houdat Nation.
So we're spending money on a sports catchphrase on signs, but not trying to generate any tax money.
That is correct.
Okay, just making sure I got it.
Bigger point here, though. Something real and tangible, multiple things that are real and tangible, fell to the wayside and could not get passed. But the state legislature passes something that says, oh, let's put up a sign that says we're the Houdat Nation. Oh, my God. What, did you have Kit Kat bars added to the cafeteria? You're the state legislature, not the damn student council. Get something real done, for crying out loud. Here's CBS.
Living easy, loving free.
637 Talk 107.3 FM, WBRP, Brian Haldane here with you. It all happens Sunday. It's going down Sunday. They're opening up the Morganza Spillway for the second time. Third time overall, second time in a decade, the Morganza Spillway will be opened up. I'm just curious. Anybody going out? Anybody going to watch it open up? I think we might have to take the kids out there. I think because something that they've seen the Bonacari opened up before. And it's actually a pretty cool sight. Just all that water rushing through, see it filling up like watching a, you know, watching a huge pool be filled up. It's worth bringing the kids out for sure. It's something though that if you've seen it before, yeah, you've seen it. But if it's a first time thing, it's a lot of fun. But the process is underway now. The preparations are underway, starting with the barge that they had to sink to prevent the backwater flooding. Here's WBRC.
It is a Band-Aid the size of a barge. A temporary barrier to prevent flooding is in place. The sinking process is underway.
It is supposed to prevent flooding from the Atchafalaya Basin from backing up into Assumption, St. Martin, and St. Mary parishes. People living in the threatened area voicing their fears, and News 2's John Stefan Springer has their concerns.
The barge is coming. It's in place right now. It's going to be sunk. You'll get details about it. But hopefully by the weekend, the water will start going down.
An optimistic forecast in Morgan City this morning as officials detailed this weekend's opening of the Morganza Spillway. But more importantly for concerned residents in the area, today's sinking of the Bayou Shane barge.
We have been in this situation since February, so it's kind of an anxious time. We're pleased that the barge is being put in.
Carol O'Quinn lives in Bell River, where they're already seeing high water.
I have a foot and a half of water that I'm driving in since February, and we also have, I have a bed and breakfast, and that's been flooded. I have about a foot of water all over in my yard. The water came so fast we couldn't even sandbag.
Officials say the barge sinking prior to the Morganza opening Sunday will allow time for the water to recede before more water heads down towards the river parishes. And for folks who got their questions answered, they say there isn't much left they can do.
The answers were pretty much what we expected. I think the best thing that we can do now is stay in the preparedness mode to see what's going to happen.
But tonight, Carol O'Quinn still nervous with the high water expected to stick around.
If the water comes in at the amount that they said, at the chart that I saw, will it level off or will we again be facing flooding in spite of the barge being put in?
Officials say a permanent flood fix is hopefully on the way after this barge provides some temporary relief. We've put additional details on that barge as well as the opening of the spillway on WBRZ.com. In the newsroom, Johnston Von Springer, WBRC News 2.
All right,
it's Home Furniture's grand opening of their.
All right, so thanks to WBRZ for the report, Johnston Von Springer with the report. First of all, they think a permanent fix is on the way. Don't hold your breath for that. I'll just point you to the Komi River Diversion Canal. That's been a few years in the works, to say the least. But secondly, as this moves forward, I just want to kind of set the table for where we're at. Chip Klein from the Coastal Protection and Restoration Authority should be joining us tomorrow to kind of give us an overview. And then it opens up on Sunday. And then we're going to have a number of different experts throughout different fields. Like everything that this affects, everything that this touches, I kind of want to touch on here. Not the least of which, the wildlife. We're going to have Mike Strain in next week. We're actually scheduled to have him in for a completely different topic. So kind of broaden this out to talk about the Department of, Mike Strain's the Ag Commissioner, but the Wildlife and Fisheries is urging residents to be cognizant of wildlife seeking higher ground ahead of the Morganza Spillway opening. Well, it's going to get worse after it's open as well. So we're going to be talking wildlife. We're going to be talking effects on agriculture, effects on the rest of the crawfish season, effects on any other crops along the way. So you name it, whatever the Morganza Spillway opening affects, be it our economy, be it our infrastructure, we're going to cover it starting tomorrow, and then it opens up on Sunday. So 642 at Talk 107.3 FM, WBRP. Still to come on today's show, Senator Bill Cassidy will join us at 717, and we're talking Crime Stoppers at 735. That's all next hour. We got traffic coming up in 2 minutes. We are still in the month of May, which is Military Appreciation Month. And during Military Appreciation Month, Talk 107.3 FM and Relief Windows would like to salute our Hero of the Week. Brandy Fields is our Hero of the Week, served in the Army National Guard, was deployed to Iraq for 12 months. Brandy, your husband wanted you to know how incredibly brave and strong you are and to say thank you for all you do from your family and, for that matter, thank you from all of us here at Talk 107.3 as well. And from Guarantee Media, we'd like to thank all of our heroes during Military Appreciation Month. And for those who nominated them, big thank you to Relief Windows as well, who sponsored Military Appreciation Month. Got a big weekend going on here. I know we're not there yet. We still got to get through Friday before we get to the weekend. But just to kind of set the table a little bit, so you had the Morganza Spillways opening up. You got regional baseball at the Box. And then, I don't know, like if you got kids, you might want to take note of this. Saturday is Guest Appreciation Day, or actually the whole weekend. It's Guest Appreciation Weekend at the Baton Rouge Zoo. Buy one, get one free tickets at the zoo this weekend. I know it's not the most pressing thing on your plate right now, but I love our zoo. I get very, you've heard me talk about this before, I get very passionate about the zoo just because I like to take my kids there. And if you can give me buy one, get one free over the weekend, I'm totally there. All right, back to the state legislature for just a second before we move on. The fetal heartbeat bill has received final passage without exemptions for rape or incest victims. Now, I think that's important to note. That second part is important to note because as we follow this as it moves forward or has moved forward, one of the questions being asked is, do we want to be in the same fight as every other state that's in this fight right now? Like, the laws on abortion are where they are right now. Do we want to get in that same mix to write a law that is admittedly unconstitutional just to challenge the Constitution? Louisiana's version of the fetal heartbeat bill has received final passage in the House. Similar bills in other states have drawn criticism. Denham Springs Representative Valerie Hodges says, and you heard this from Louisiana Radio Network at the at 12 minutes ago. Valerie Hodges says she supports the bill because a heartbeat is the measure by which someone is determined to be living. Through no choice of their own, the baby's life is terminated. And I believe this legislature believes, this is a human rights violation, said Hodges. Baton Rouge Representative Ted James introduced an amendment to the bill that would see exemptions of the law applied to cases or rape or incest. I'm not man enough to tell that woman, you know what, I live with it. Every kick, every bout of morning sickness, every headache, a reminder of that trauma. I'm not man enough to do that, said James. That amendment failed to pass. The bill now goes to the governor's desk. Now, the governor has said already, the governor is on record as saying he will sign off on this bill. He said, providing nothing major changes in it, he will sign off on this bill. He ran as a pro-life governor. This was a campaign promise he made. So I wonder if not having an exemption for rape or incest will change his take on this. But if you're pro-life, you're pro-life. So this is how the bill was when you said you were going to sign it. Got to look and see if he's going to sign it. I honestly think he will when it's all said and done. I just don't know if we're ready for the overall fight, though. That's the part that, and this is an issue that, can anyone tell me that someone has changed their mind on abortion in the last, I don't know how long? You kind of are where you are on abortion. And now we're starting to see a lot of changes in a lot of states. And a discussion that I don't think is going to bring anybody any closer together is going to be had. This is going to be a tough fight to have, a very tough fight to have, but we'll follow it moving forward. Here's your money now.
First things first, I'ma say all the words inside my head. I'm fired up and tired of the way that things have been. Oh, ooh, the way that things have
654, been. Talk 107.3 FM, WBRP. Saw this story yesterday, late yesterday afternoon, wanted to touch on it before too long had passed. Environmentalists are seeking a court order allowing them to march on two southeast Louisiana bridges to protest pollution by petrochemical companies. In a lawsuit filed yesterday, they say state officials have refused them permission to march on the I-10 bridge in Baton Rouge and on the Sunshine Bridge, which spans the Mississippi River down in St. John. We know where the Sunshine Bridge is. The state court lawsuit says the groups plan a five-day march beginning Thursday. They want permission to be on the bridges Saturday or Sunday when they would have the least effect on traffic. Governor John Bel Edwards and the heads of the State Transportation Department and State Police are defendants in the lawsuit, which was filed in Baton Rouge. The governor's office did not immediately respond to requests for comments. I hope he doesn't respond, like, ever. No, you don't protest on the I-10 bridge. No, you don't protest on the Sunshine Bridge. For multiple reasons, not the least of which is 90% of the people, I shouldn't put a number on it because I don't have anything empirical. The vast majority of the people who will be inconvenienced by this will have no idea what you're protesting. They'll just be stuck in traffic. And you want to know what? They'll be stuck in traffic while on their way to a job that feeds their family at a petrochemical plant. The job's at the plant, not their family or the food. Dangling modifier, and I admit it. You're going to come off looking like the bad guy here if you do this. If you protest by clogging up a bridge, you're not going to win anybody over. That doesn't change hearts and minds. That further entrenches people in their belief. Well, let's see. The petrochemical plant pays me a good salary and a retirement. You're preventing me from getting to that job that pays me the good salary and retirement. You got to come up with a better way to protest, unless you're asking them to not stop traffic. If you want a Frogger-style protest, just let me know so I can Facebook Live that. If you want to get out there with traffic still coming through, have at it. But seriously, you're not going to win anybody over with this. I don't understand the point of fighting for this. Like I said, most of the people involved aren't going to follow the news close enough to know what it is you're protesting. They're just going to know, well, I was stuck at the Sunshine Bridge for an hour and a half before I finally turned around and went home. Well, I was stuck at the I-10 bridge for an hour before I finally got off at Highway 1 and went up to the old bridge. You're going to completely miss the point, and you're not going to win anybody over. So what is your point? Too much time on their hands. All right, we got a lot still to go here. CBS World News Roundup coming your way in 2 minutes. Senator Bill Cassidy is going to be joining me at 7:17. I actually looked up and just saw him on WBRZ a minute ago, so he must be making all the rounds today. Hopefully he'll be in studio. 7:35, we got Crime Stoppers as well. Right now, like I said, CBS World News Roundup coming your way.